Well, good morning. It's great to see you out this morning, and I'm very happy to be back in Worcester. We shall consider the gospel, the message of salvation. If you care to read with me, turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 50. And we'll read the last part of verse 4, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, the last part of the verse. It says, "He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." And God will bless the reading of this very precious scripture. In the year 1650, that's a long time ago. Thank you, brother. Yeah, thanks so much. There was a merchantman from England, and he went to Scotland with the purpose of hearing the great preachers up there. He heard a lot about these preachers. So he went up to Scotland. When he came back, his friends asked him, "Well, what did you hear?" And he said, I heard rare things. I went to the town of St. Andrews, where I heard a majestic-looking man named Mr. Blair, and he showed me the majesty of God. He said, after him, I heard a little fair man named Rutherford, Samuel Rutherford, and he showed me the loveliness of Christ. He said, then I went to a town called Irvine, where I heard an old man named Mr. Dixon. And that man showed me my own heart. Now that is a revelation from God that we need. A revelation of myself. My own heart, as I am truly in the sight of a holy God. If ever a man or a woman is going to be born again and saved and be in God's family, you first have to have that revelation of yourself, myself, yourself. That's how God sees you. I used to think I was a good guy. I was a sinful man, wicked man. I just lived for this world, all the pleasures of this world. That was me, pleasure man, sinner. But in my mind, I used to think, you know, I'm a good man. God knows me. I wouldn't hurt anybody. I'm not a mean man. And I'd think, yes, God would take me into heaven when I die. I'd think this. That's how everyone thinks. I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad to go to hell. I'm not the best person in the world, but I'm not that bad. Well, the truth is, yes, we are all that bad, every single one of us. We're that bad. On the exterior, living before one another, we look fine. Yes, I feel fine, look fine. And my friends think I'm fine and so on, but God says, understand, look at my word. He says, the Lord God hath opened mine ear. To open a door, open eyes, open ears. He opened this man's eyes to see himself for the man he really was, a sinful man. And God, in his great love for sinners, those who seek him earnestly, and you want to know God, and you want to go to heaven, you want the truth. You don't want to live like everybody else, like make believe. Let's pretend. Let's play the game of let's pretend. I'm not going to die. Not me. I ignore death. I ignore death. I live as though I have every day ahead of me. Before you know it, your life's over. And you're still not saved. God loves you, and he wants to give you that revelation this morning of yourself. that we are sinful men. Jesus Christ, 8 times in the book of Revelation, he said, "He that hath an ear to hear, I'll let him hear." Listen. Learn by hearing. May you listen this morning. May you understand. It's not Wade LeBlanc from Canada speaking to you. It's not me. No. It is God Almighty, God Himself. He brought you here this morning. Don't think you're here by accident. I decided to come. I'll tell you what. If you're here and you're not saved and you're in your sins, you know you're not a Christian. You don't pray on your knees to God. You don't read the Bible. You have no interest in God. I'll tell you something. God brought you here this morning. A divine appointment. Me here speaking on behalf of God, giving you the gospel, and you here right now. This meeting's for you. Not the person in front of you, behind you, beside you. It's for you. May you understand, and may God give you this blessed revelation. Jeremiah 9 and 20, it says, Hear the word of the Lord, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth. The word receive means to take as to obey, instruction. Receive as a commandment from power and authority. Receive from God. There was a young man who was living in London. His name was Robert Chapman. And he was a good living man. He went one day into a little chapel and he heard the gospel. And Robert Chapman had that revelation given to him by God. He was a lawyer. "I'm not the good man I thought I was. I understand now what God says about me, how God sees me. I'm in my sin. I'm a sinful man." And Robert Chapman was saved, born again. He used to bring the poor of London into that little chapel. It changed the whole chapel. God called him to serve. He left his practice of law in London. He moved to a little town called Barnstaple. I read his biography. He was a great man of God who loved souls. Now, there were some girls in the town. He was going to preach his first sermon on Sunday. These girls saw him. And these girls are like 16, 17, 18. "Oh, he looks cute. He looks like a real cute man. Let's go Sunday and have some fun with him." They're going to make fun of him. And they weren't interested at all in salvation or the word of God, but they wanted to go make fun of this man, right? So they went, about 4 or 5 girls. They came in late on purpose to disturb the meeting. And they're smiling at him and things. They're trying to bother him, you see, as he's preaching. And then the meeting was over. And they left. And they're looking at each other, kind of smug. "We did a good job this morning. I really upset the preacher, I think. I don't know if we did or not." And one girl, her name was Eliza Gilbert. And she said, "He hurt me. His words hurt me. I must hear him again." And she went back the next Sunday. And Eliza Gilbert was born again into God's family. Yeah? See, it hurts. The truth hurts. Me, I'm a sinner. She knew what she was now. She said, "How could I be in here and make fun of the preacher? He's telling me about God's love for me, how God died for me in love, and I'm making fun of the preacher." You see how God convicted her? He opened her ears, her eyes, and she saw what she really was. Eliza Gilbert was born again and saved. Yes. You need the revelation, you know, if you're going to be saved. Understand, you have a problem, it's sin. That's why you live as you do. It's a power in your life. A revelation of our true condition before God. Sinner, unclean. Isaiah had this revelation given to him. Listen to what he said now. "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." We'll talk about that revelation in a moment. But Isaiah had that revelation given to him. And he declared, "I'm a man unclean." And we all are the same. And you need to understand that. And let God reveal it to you. Let him speak to you. Lord Fisher was one of the greatest admirals of the British fleet in England. A Christian man, they all knew it. And someone asked him one day, "What is your favorite verse in the Bible?" He said, "The last chapter of the book of Job, verses 5 and 6, this is what Job said, his favorite verse. I have heard of thee, O God, by the hearing of the ear, But now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself in dust and ashes. His favorite verse, because that was the day he got the revelation from God, you see. He thought he was a fine man. No, he realized now I'm not a fine man at all. And he realized what he was. He said, I abhor myself in dust and ashes. That's the place God seeks to bring you to. Huh? Wake you up to see what you are in his sight. We're sinful. We need a Savior. Sinners need a Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ is still saving sinners. He wants to save you this morning in this meeting right here. Peter had the revelation. Peter was on the boat with the Lord Jesus in the boat, and they'd fished all night and caught nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ said to him, Peter, put your nets down on the other side of the ship. Peter's thinking to himself, he's not a fisherman. He doesn't understand. You don't catch fish in the daytime. But he said, Lord, well, okay. He put out one net, not nets. And the net was full of fish instantly, and the net broke. And he realized, he was realizing more and more the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God manifest in the flesh. He commanded those fish into the net. And he fell down on his knees and he said, Lord God, I am a sinful man. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Would you declare that to God in your heart? That's what you are. But you need a revelation from God to realize what you are. The publican in Luke 18, the parable, they go into the temple with a Pharisee. Pharisees thought they were just fine. Religious men knew the Bible. He went in there and he prays with himself. It says he thanks God for the kind of man he is. And then he sees the publican who were thieves. He said, Lord, I thank you. I'm not like that man. I'm not like him. I'm a good man, I am. Praying with himself. Now the publican, when they prayed, the Pharisees lift up their hands and their faces to God. Very bold. It says the publican would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. And he smote his breast. And he said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The sinner. That's what I am. And Jesus Christ said, that man left that temple saved, born again, justified, as though he never sinned. You can leave this place today that way. May God bless you with this revelation of yourself. Now, the second revelation we need is of the Savior who died in love for you. His death, burial, resurrection, all for you. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, the place of a skull, there they crucified him. And we just read the words. It was a gory sight, you know. They smote his face so much with their fists and rods, it did not resemble a man's face. His body. They beat his body. They whipped his back with a Roman lash, strands of leather, with pieces of sharp bone or stone, rocks intertwined, about every 3 or 4 inches along, these with 6 or 7 strands. A strong man would come down with that whip and rip the flesh. It wasn't a plowed field. It was a gory mess, his back. You could look in between the ribs and see the organs inside and pain. He suffered that for you. You know, there were no paintings of crucifixion till well after everybody was dead that saw crucifixion. Who would paint that scene? Hanging on the cross with a crown of thorns, blood down his face, blood down his arms, blood down his body, blood down his legs and feet. Falling on the ground, a gory mess. They crucified him. Why? Well, for you and for me. He was crucified. Do you understand what we're talking about here? He was God. And for you, he did that. He was made sin by a holy Father. And in darkness, he judged his Son for you, that you might be saved. We see paintings today of the Lord Jesus, his face intact, body intact on the cross. No, it was a gory mess. Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He wants to bring you to God this morning during this meeting. Salvation is a decision you make in your heart, a very serious decision. I want Christ now. I'm tired of living for me. I know what I am now. I'm in danger right now. If I die right now in my sins, I'm going down to hell. I know that now. Lord God, thank you for showing me myself. Thank you for showing me the Lord Jesus Christ who died for me. In Scotland, there was a great snowstorm in the Highlands. It came about suddenly on a train. There was a woman, very famous story in Scotland. She had a baby with her, a little baby, and her stop was next. The train stopped, and she got off the train, and the train moved on in the snowstorm. But it wasn't her stop. The train had stopped to check the engine or something and moved on. And she realized, I don't even know where I am. I don't even know where I am. She tried to make her way to her home. Blinding snow. She couldn't do it. She knew she couldn't do it. Very cold. Well, she saw this rock, large rock, with a hole, a crevice in the rock underneath. She settled down there. The search party the next day found this dear lady. She's frozen to death. The strange thing is, most of her clothes were off. What's the story? They're looking at her. What did she do that for? It's freezing out. They moved her body away, and there was the baby inside the rock, wrapped up in the shawl. She gave all the clothing she had to the baby. She put her body against the rock in the hole and let that baby live. The baby cried. He was alive. And this preacher one Sunday was telling that story as an example of what Christ did for us. He gave himself for me. He died for me. When he was done preaching, a young man about 20 years old in a soldier's uniform walked up to him. And he said, "Sir, I am that mother's son. I've never been able to forget her love for me. But this morning I realize I've forgotten about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for me. He died for me to save my eternal soul. But no more do I forget. No more." And that young man received Christ as his Lord and Savior, standing right there in front of that preacher. God gave him that wonderful revelation of the love of God for him, you see. May he bless you this morning. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, for you. Huh? Now, this man had these revelations given to him. What was his response? How did he respond? You must respond this morning, you know, to this message. You've got to respond somehow. This man said, "I was not rebellious. I was not rebellious to contend or argue with, to disagree with, to rebel, to be stubborn." I was not rebellious. Solemnly, I tell you, the great majority of people rebel against this message. "I don't want Christ. I will not have that man reign over me." They rebel. God said in Job 24:13, These are of those who rebel against the light. The light is the gospel, the truth being proclaimed right now to you. What are you going to do? Huh? This man said, I did not rebel. Numbers 14:9, God said, "Only rebel not ye against the Lord." Don't rebel against the Lord. Don't be stubborn. My daughter Amy, she's 37 today. I remember telling me when she was in middle school. And she said, when they switched teachers, another teacher came in the room, she said, some of the students would turn their chairs around backwards, back to her, and they'd face the wall. What's that all about? Is that rebellion? They're rebellious children. I'm not even going to look at the teacher. I'm not going to listen to a word she says. I'll turn my back to her. I'll show her. Rebellion. That is what most people do when they hear this message. What is God's attitude towards those who rebel? "I have spread out my hands all the day unto..." A rebellious people which walketh in a way not good after their own thoughts. God says, "My hands are still spread out to you even though you rebel against me. Now you're stubborn. You don't want me. You just want to stay in your sins and enjoy yourself. You're rebelling. But my hands are still spread out to you. He loves you so. In Mark 10, a young man came to the Lord Jesus, a rich man. And he said, Lord, he wanted eternal life. Now the Lord Jesus Christ knew when this man came, he's going to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to rebel against him. He went away sad because he had great riches and wasn't willing to part with them. And it says, Jesus, beholding this man who he knew would reject him, loved him. He loved that man. He loves you. He loves rebels. He's still calling rebels, come to me. Come, I'll save you. Daniel 9 and 9, it says, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. He wants to show you mercy this morning. He wants to forgive your sins this morning. This man said, I was not rebellious. May you in your heart be of the same mindset as this man. I'm not going to rebel again. I'm not going to leave again the meeting in rebellion. He also said, neither turned away back. I wasn't rebellious. I didn't turn away back. I didn't return onto my old life. Sadly, many here, they receive these revelations. They're convicted in their hearts. But there's no coming in surrender to Christ. There's no coming. And they return back. They get in the vehicle and they drive back to their home, get out of the vehicle, go in the house, and they just go back. They return to the life they've been living all along. And they forget about the message. They forget about God speaking to their hearts, and they return. That's what most people do. I hope this morning you won't do that. This will be a different morning for you. This will be the day of days for you when you don't leave the meeting here in the gospel and return to your old life, your old friends. Hey, there's a song we sing, My Old Companions, Fare Thee Well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. I will go. That's what God wants you to do. Change your direction right now. There's a man named Sennacherib. Isaiah 37, 37, it says, Sennacherib departed and went and returned. We learn more in 1 Kings 19. It says he returned back from him. Do understand this morning, if you leave this meeting and you return back and live just the way you've been living, you have turned back from him, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know right now he's standing outside your heart's door. He's knocking at your heart's door. He's knocked before, you know he has. And he says, now if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. He doesn't want you to rebel. He doesn't want you to return. He wants you to turn to him with all your heart. What was the response of this man was, I did not rebel. I did not return. He repented. Repentance means I change my mind. Change your mind. You see? I gave. Verse 6. I gave. Will you give God yourself this morning? Give him you. Proverbs 23, 26. Give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Give me. What does God want from you? What does God want from you anyway? Change your mind and let your will to God be given. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Change your mind. Yes, he wants you. On September the 10th, 2011, a preacher was on an airplane, Delta. He sees a stewardess off to his right. She's trying to open a champagne bottle for somebody in first class. And she's struggling with it, and the bottle's kind of shaking. The preacher knew those things can explode. If they explode, glass goes everywhere, right into your body. So he got up quickly, went over to her, and he said, my dear, don't do that. Okay, he explained to her why. And then he took out a gospel tract, and he gave it to her to read, The Love of God for You. Then he went and sat down. A few minutes later, she came. There was an empty seat beside him. She came and sat down beside him. It's a true story. She said, sir, this is the fifth gospel tract This is the fifth gospel tract I've been given in 3 weeks. What does God want from me? What does he want from me? And the preacher said, my dear, I'll tell you what he wants. He wants you. He wants you. He loves you. He wants you. Share your life with him now. Walk with him. Talk to him. Live for him. He wants you. And she just wept. She bowed her head and she said, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm so sorry. Thank you for speaking to me 5 times. You called me and you love me. And she became a Christian sitting right beside this man. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? How God loves sinners. The next day was September the 11th, 2011. And that plane crashed into the first tower. It was Delta. The preacher went on his internet somehow, and he got the names of those on the plane that crashed that day and died instantly. The crew, pilot, co-pilot, stewardesses, and so on, and there was her name. She died the very next day and went home to glory. You tell me, does God love sinners or what? He loves sinners. He loves you. That's why he brought you here this morning, to hear of his love for you. Huh? He loves you so. May God bless you. I gave. Say, Lord Jesus, I heard the hymn being sung, just as I am, without one plea. God, I come just as I am. I give you myself, myself. I bow before you, lock, stock, and barrel. Me. No longer do I want to live for me anymore. No longer pleasing me, Lord. I want to please you now. That's what God wants from you. Now, you know, if you're going to be saved, you must be resolved, okay? Resolved to be saved in your heart. Because the devil is busy right now with your mind, very busy. He wants to steal the seed, the living word of truth, right out of your mind. This man said, I set my face like a flint. I set my face like a flint. He's resolved. You see, he's resolved. A hard rock or stone. Oxford Dictionary says resolved is to make up your mind, firmly decide to do something. Firmly decide. Resolve. That's the place God's seeking to bring you to. In Acts 11, Barnabas, one of God's servants, was preaching, and it says he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. The word purpose of heart means to set before your mind a deliberate resolution, a deliberate resolution. I am going to be saved. I am today. God spoke to me. He's speaking to me. He's calling me. I know he is. And I'm coming. I've had enough living this way. I'm coming right now. Right now, Lord. I'm coming. May that be your response today. I was having some meetings in a place called Cambridge, Nova Scotia. It's a little poor area, Nova Scotia. A little assembly there. I was there from Sunday to Friday preaching every night the gospel. There was a young man there in mid-20s named Todd. He was married to a Christian girl, Shirley. Her mother and father in the meeting. Her father was an elder. Now, Todd's not saved. She was saved. Todd's not saved. And I see this man. And I sized him up. I've learned a few lessons along the way. We don't know. I sized him up, and my judgment of that man was, he is no more interested in the gospel than my dog is. Huh? He's only coming to please his wife and his in-laws. That's all. On the last night, I gave my testimony. And then I moved on to Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, a 2-hour drive. On Saturday, I drove down. I'm to preach there Sunday morning. I'm sitting in this room, looking over my notes, just like I was out there. I heard them singing. I said, well, I got to go up now. I'm going to preach the gospel. God help me. And who walked in the door but Todd? I was so wrong about this man. I was so wrong about him. I looked up and I saw him. I said, Todd, you know, you're 2 hours away. What are you doing here? He said, Wade, you know, I wanted to be saved. I didn't know. On that night I gave my testimony, he's writing verses on his work boot. He couldn't find any paper. I mean, I misjudged the man. He was seeking God. He was. I didn't even know it. What do I know? I said, Todd, listen. He asked me for verses. I said, you don't need verses, Todd. You can be saved through one verse right now. He said, I can? I said, yes, you can, brother. You can. I went around the table with my Bible. I opened up the Revelation 3:20, which I just quoted to you. I said, Todd, now look at this verse. It's Jesus Christ speaking. Behold, I stand at the door, your heart's door, Todd, your life, the door to your life. I stand, Jesus Christ. Outside the door, I knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come in. You'll be saved, born again. You'll know it. And he looked at it. I was praying in my heart. I heard them singing upstairs. You'll be looking for me in a minute or two, but this is much more important to me. And he stood there looking at it, and all of a sudden, he started to cry. Tears going down his face. He said, wait, I'm saved. I said, you're saved? Really, Todd, you're saved. What? I said, how do you know you're saved? I said, you invite Christ into your life to be your Lord and Savior? Said, yes, I did. I did, yes. Well, I want to really make sure. You know, I got to test this guy. So I looked at him real solemnly. I said, you invited Jesus Christ in? He said, yes, I did, he said. I said, how do you know he came in, Todd? Did you feel him come in? How do you know he came in? Tell me, how do you know? It was a challenge for the man. He looked at me and he just dried his tears like this. He pointed to the verse and he said, because he said he would. Because he said he would, I will come in. You understand how you're saved. You believe God. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. God said, I'm saved. Overhear the verse. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. How do I know I'm saved? How do I know? Some days I don't feel saved some days. I don't feel very close to God some days, but I know I'm saved. That verse tells me if I believe, and I do, on the Lord Jesus Christ, God says I'm saved. You see, how do you know he came in? He said he would come in, and I know he did because he said so. He will come in. He'll save you this morning. As you sit in your seat, he will save you. Now, what was the result of all this? What was the final result? Verse 7, I know that I shall not be ashamed, confused, fearful, no disappointments anymore. I know in my heart I'm God's now. He's in control of my life now. I'm in Christ. Nothing can happen to me except it goes through God first in my life. I know. 1 John 5:13, it says, John said, I write these things unto you that you may know. K-N-O-W, that you might know you have eternal life. Right now you have it. I know. I know that I shall not be ashamed. That was the result. Changed life, blessed life, huh? I can remember when I was having some meetings, gospel tent meetings, a number of years ago in St. John. I went to the supermarket for my lunch, and I'm standing in line, and the cashier's there. And I'm waiting my turn in line. I'm going to pay her for my lunch. Now, beside me was a young man who worked there. He had the uniform on at the supermarket. And he's buying his little lunch. It was lunch break. And he asked me, he's a conscientious employee. He said, sir, did you find everything you were looking for? Ah, there's a question for an evangelist. Did I find everything I was looking for? Ah, I said, young man, I tell you what. I found everything I was looking for 22 years ago, when I found Christ, he filled my life completely. I'm completely satisfied. I said, you'll find everything you're looking for in Christ. And I gave him a gospel tract to read. Huh? I know. Now, God brought you here this morning for a reason. Understand that. For a reason. He loves you. He loves you so. He wants to save you. Now, you see, as I say in tennis, the ball's in your court. What will you do? What will you do now? With the Lord Jesus Christ. What will you do? May God bless you. May you repent. May you give. He wants you. You see, he loves you so. He wants you. Give yourself to him this morning. May God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thanks for listening. We'll pray, Father in heaven, in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we draw near to thee, Father. We thank thee, O God, that you love sinners. You love rebellious mankind. Your Son died, suffered and died on that cross that he might bring us to thee, Father. We pray for anyone here this morning who is not thine own, who maybe heard this message before and they rebelled and returned back to their old life. Father, may that not be the case this morning. May you speak to them mightily, and may they be resolved this morning in their hearts. I don't think I want to leave this building without Christ. Father, we ask for blessing and salvation. We understand, Father, that we are only messengers, O God. The power is in the gospel, and the Lord Jesus is a mighty Savior. So, Father, we commend anyone here this morning into your hands who's not thine. May they become resolved and become thine and give themselves to thee, Father. We ask this in his worthy name and for his honor and glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.